That sounds like today, doesn't it? We live in a day of people against Christ, and people that teach all kinds of wrong doctrine. So, as we look at the volume, again, maybe just let me read through the notes because this will help you. The book is not highly structured, although I will tell you that the more I study it and look at it, there is structure that's clearly there, but it is highly pastoral. John is very concerned about the heart and the spiritual soul, the well-being of those believers that he's writing to. And so what's going to happen is you're going to see throughout the first book of the epistle, 1 John, that these themes will overlap and reoccur. He brings them up several times. Let me point out a couple things. So we see here, as we look down through the outline, kind of, it's not with 1, 2s and A's and B's and all that, but you can see kind of the structure that I set up. By the way, I based this off of a good outline that was given in by Glenn Baker in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, which is, I should say, it's not the revised Expositor's Bible Commentary, it's the older one, if you ever go to look for it. I've got some volumes back in my office if you want to look. But I've rebuilt it some, but I wanted to give the credit where credit is due. I appreciated what he was handling. Notice that each of these themes are dealing with God. And by the way, if we're talking about joyful assurance of our salvation, where do we find that assurance? In us? Did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? You know, no, it's in God. God is the one that holds us, protects us. So no wonder God becomes the focus. And we have in the first section a focus on God who is light, the God of light. In the middle section of the book, the God of righteousness. And in the final section, the God of love. Now, at the end of the first two sections, and you notice here, as we go through the outline, I have those asterisks. He stops at the conclusion before he presents God in another light. No pun intended there, really. But he gives a warning section, and that's the sections where he's talking about, all right, be warned. And you see at the end of the first section of God, where God is light, be warned against the Antichrist. And then the God of righteousness, be warned against false spirits. There could be actually some connection there. Antichrist, the gods of darkness compared to the God of light. The God of righteousness, and these are false. The true God who gives us the true way of living, and then there's false spirits that teach us wrong things. All right, the lie. And then finally, that last section, the God of love, and there's no necessarily warning against Antichrist or false spirits necessarily, but there is, right? And it's found in the summation. We're not going to get there tonight, and this is where you're going to have, and there's room in your notes. I'm going to give you some more maybe extensive notes that are not written here when we get there on the summary. And in John's reiteration of what he's talking about, he summarizes it really well and again tells us to stand against or in contrast to false teachers and false teachings. And that'll be covered there in chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. Okay, so as we come back to chapter 1 then, obviously, verses 1 through 4 really state, in many ways, the theme, but also kind of the introduction, the preface. Let's read those verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. This is John essentially giving testimony of his time with Christ. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Christ, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then, verse 5, right, so that's the introduction. So I'm writing to cheer you up, to have the fellowship with one another, with God and so forth. This then, verse 5, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. Here it is. I want you to catch this, he's saying. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So consequently, as we look at our notes, he starts here in verse 5, goes through the beginning of chapter 2, and he's telling us, because God is in the light, because God is light, walk in the light. Obey Him, follow Him. Don't be people of the darkness. As a result of that, what happens? Chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. You obey His commands. If I'm walking in the light, that means I'm obedient to the Lord. I'm not on the wrong path, I'm on the right path. That means you're obeying. A characteristic of the true believer is that he has this tendency, supernatural tendency given by the Spirit of God, to obey the Word of God. If that's not true in your life, you're not saved. That's what John's conclusion is. You say, well, I struggle, I sin. Yes, but is there a heart and a passion to, not because you get kudos, because someone pats you on the back, or because you don't get in trouble with your mom and dad, but because there's this deep-seated, and we can't describe it other than this reality, but I want to obey God. That when I sin and the Spirit of God convicts me, there is real grief over it. Reminiscent of Psalm 32, Psalm 51 that we've memorized from when David sinned against the Lord. Oh, he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba and everyone else too. But remember his foe, I've sinned against my great God. Anyways, that's what happens. And we have this passion for obeying God. So one of the joys of walking in the light is this, as we look at our notes. We know the Father and thus we abide forever. That word know is not just the knowledge I know about. No. I know Him. He is my dearest, dearest relationship. And so the fathers are encouraged. I've written unto you fathers because you know me. Written unto young men because you kept my commandments. All right, those young children, all right, to stay away from the world, all those things. And we abide forever. We're in a relationship with God, and because of that relationship, I will, like my Father, like my Savior, live forever. So then, he ends with that great warning at the end of chapter 2. Be warned against anyone who does not teach God's truth according to the Scriptures. The Antichrist. And John says, there are many of them in the world. There will come the Antichrist. Just like there is the Satan. There's one and only Satan. Aren't you glad? All right. But he has many followers. One of whom, by the way, will be the Antichrist. But today there are many antichrists in this world that fight against the work, the kingdom of God. And we need to be careful not to follow, not to hear, not to heed, not to listen to those who twist truth, all those things. Be warned against the antichrists. Okay, so there's kind of the first outline, the first thoughts. And we'll stop here and jump into the next two passages, Lord willing, next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, thank you that you're the God of light. In you is no darkness at all. So help us to walk in your light. Then your light is revealed in your word. It's the truth. It's the word of God. May we be found obeying your commandments. Thank you that in that relationship our eternal security is secure. Because I know the Father, I will abide forever. Thank you for that promise. Therefore, help us to fight against those who would teach against the truth, the Antichrists. We're surrounded by them. May we cherish you, cherish the light that you've given us to walk in. Obey it always. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, trust you have a good rest of the week. Look forward to, Lord willing, calling on Saturday morning if the weather's good. Good night. You're dismissed.